Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Human Podcast. So, this has been a wild week for me. I've been working non-fucking stop. I, of course, am Alex the Truck, your intrepid host. We also got my wife.
My meal this weekend is not as good as last time's.
And then, yeah, she's weird.
I'm here.
And then Courtney over there. As always, you know the deal. If you're here for the first time, well, thank you for clicking on this shit. If you are a returning guest, why? Really? Why? Why are you back? Thank you, but you know, you're crazy. Maybe you want to hear what I say. Yesterday was Friday. We record this a day early, you know. And it was International Women's Day. I don't know if women knew that, but probably not, because you know, we try and hide it from them. You know, these damn women.
I mean, I knew it. Courtney, did you?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes, it's annoying.
So, on Friday, I go out and, like, party. I go to the pool hall and all that bullshit. And I was walking down to, you know, the billiards hall. And I walk into my normal bar because it's like the bartender sees me. It's like, ah! You know, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I have to at least go in and, you know, show my face now. They saw me. You know, it's undeniable. Which you see everybody walking past. Like, oh, I know that guy. And so I walk into my normal bar and we immediately start coming up with a plan to do Jell-O wrestling this summer behind the bar owner's back, which is a great fucking time. I am, you know, in the baby stages of making this happen, but if I can, you know,
your own Jell-O, or are you going to buy it pre-made?
Oh, we're just going to have like 5-gallon buckets of Jell-O and just...
How are you going to fill the buckets? Where's the Jell-O going to come from?
Everyone's going to bring some Jell-O.
Like store-made Jell-O, or are they going to make their own Jell-O?
Make your own Jell-O. You have to. It's a special kind of Jell-O. It's not store-made. Yeah, that'd be a problem.
People are going to make the Jell-O for you?
No. Like, you can just buy it from Amazon. You can buy like a whole Jell-O mix and just add water. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Do not worry about it. You won't be that. You will not be there. Don't worry.
I do not want to be there.
You will not be there. No.
No. Thank God.
So don't worry about the semantics on how it's going to happen. We are fucking dumb shit.
Okay. I thought you were going to try to make this happen when we're down in Durango.
No.
Okay. Thank God.
It's probably going to be before then.
Thank God. I was like, do you really want? Okay.
No. No. It's going to be a Monday.
So much better now.
Why would you think I would invite you?
Because you said when we're down in Durango, which to me I
when I am down in Durango.
I heard me. I heard
not me. You. Me.
I feel so
when
much better.
I am in when like when I'm, me and my friends that live in Durango, the people that live there.
I am so relieved.
Yeah. I've thoroughly explained this to my wife that she will not be there. That it'll probably be in a month that we're not even down in Durango together.
I was agreeing with you, but I was also explaining my own confusion because I thought it was funny.
Exactly. My wife is crazy. But yeah, let me finish my fucking story. So we're planning fucking that. So I'm just moving on because my wife derailed the entire fucking thing.
On purpose.
Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. And then women were like, let me tell you my story. Do you know this guy, Tom? You know Tom from like 3 years ago? Yeah, Tom. He has like kind of a balding head. You know Tom? Tom. You know Tom. He has a weird eyebrows. You know Tom. You and Tom go way back. It's like, well, so 3 years ago, Tom, you know, bought a dog. And it's like, that is how women's stories go. And it takes forever. And it's like, you come back like the next day, she's still talking. It's like, and so Tom had a dog. And his dog had dogs. And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Come back like 6 years later. And it's like, and so that's how Tom got rid of those dogs.
So the bitch had puppies?
I'm making up a made-up story to make fun of how women tell stories.
I know, but you said the dogs had dogs, so did the bitch have puppies?
I don't know. I made up a story. It is a made-up story that does not exist. There is no Tom. He does not have a dog. Does not exist. 0% chance of that ever happening.
Puppies.
Okay, sure. But, so, you know, I go down to the billiards hall to, you know, have a good time and play some, you know, pool and all that bullshit. And I you know, tell everyone. And I have one friend. He is one of these fuck the government types. He's a big fan of Ted Kaczynski. And I tell him my plan to, you know, have this Jell-O wrestling. And his Jewish side pops the fuck on out. And he's like, well, that's going to break the law. And I don't want to, you know, break the law. I don't want to go to jail. That, like, that might send me to jail. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, I know. I'm like sitting here making fun of him the entire time for this. I'm like, this will not send you to fucking jail to, you know, have. I'm going to be the one in charge of it. You know, so I'm just, you know, telling you and seeing if you want to participate. There's no shot that they're going to bring you to jail for, you know, diving around in some Jell-O in the back of a bar on a patio. Fuck off. And you know, he's like, I don't want to do it if we're not all above board. I'm like, okay, how's this? I'll get insurance. He's like, oh, okay. I love insurance. I'm like, fucking Jews. Every goddamn time. And you know, then like the rest of my friends are just like debaucherous pieces of shit. They're like, yeah, we're down. We don't even care. We'll do it. I'm like, cool. And so since it was International Women's Day, my friend Shelby decided to get drunk. She was also at the billiards hall. She was down to do some Jell-O wrestling. And she's like 5'2". She's like a hobbit. Would you say that is accurate?
My height does not even grant me hobbit. I am fairy height.
So
at least she gets to be hobbit.
She's a little hobbit person, tiny little fucking person. And, you know, three beers is going to fuck her up. She was just drinking gin and tonics all night long.
Love a good gin and tonic. Do they have a good gin and tonic there?
I don't know. I don't like gin.
I'll test it.
It's awful. Who the fuck?
It's like, an acquired taste.
I'll drink rum, gin, tequila, and vodka all together. Sure, I'll do that. Ugh. I'll do some AMF fucking Long Island iced tea bullshit, but I will not fucking bring myself down to just drink gin. Like, I crack open my little fridge here. I got tequila and rum and beer in my fridge.
There's something wrong with not being able to appreciate it.
Like I don't even know what plant gin comes from.
I think it comes from elderberry, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that seems awful. I don't want an elderberry.
Have you ever had elderberries?
No.
Oh, I haven't either.
Then you can't complain.
I'm not complaining. I like gin.
But so, yeah, she was just drinking gin and tonics all night long. Trying to get through this story so we can actually get to the actual podcast. And when Shelby drinks, she turns into a little Olympian. Like, she loves running.
Oh god.
And like jumping and all kinds of crazy shit while drunk.
Wait, that's a real thing? I thought it was just made up on TV.
No, this is very real.
What the
She's fuck? The drunkest little Olympian. It is a thing that I've seen multiple fucking times.
A TV thing.
No.
Oh my god.
And so I'm sitting there with my buddy Brad, and I'm, you know, this is, you know, her husband. And I'm just like sitting there. I'm like, oh, your wife's like a fucking little toddler. She's gonna fall off the sidewalk and die. And like, we're just gonna sit here and like watch, and it's gonna be really awful. Like, you know, watch your life get ruined. And he's like, nah, it'll be fine. I'm like, right, don't let her get too far away. Because she's just drunk and just, you know, stumbling, dropping her vape nonstop, dropping all of her stuff. She like dropped the belt off of her her jacket. Like she has one of those jackets that like it's not a trench coat, but you know, has a belt like a trench coat. Whatever. She's dropping everything. Just left and fucking right. I'm just watching her just drop all this bullshit, making fun of her, and picking up all the shit that she's dropping. I dropped my vape. Yeah, Brad's like, I got your vape. I got it. And then, like, she gets to the crosswalk, falls down on the ground, you know, drops everything again. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
This is what happens when you don't have pockets.
She did. She did have pockets.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah, she was that fucked up. And so we're just like kind of like following behind and letting her, you know, do her like drunken toddler thing. And I spot a cop, you know, just and he like makes a weird turn. I'm like, that's not a fucking place that cops go. And I look at my friend Brad. I'm like, you know, that cop's about to like fucking bust her. You know, so I'm like, oh shit. And so we like kind of hurry up and get around the corner to where she is. And she's just sitting there mortified, standing there with a cop. And the cop looks at us. He's like, do you know her? Yeah, I'm like, yes. He's like, it's like, ma'am, do you know these gentlemen?
It's a good question to ask, though.
And I'm like, I fully appreciate this cop, but I'm like, oh shit. Cause like if Shelby was like fucked up or funny at all, she'd be like, I don't know them at all, officer. Take them both to jail. I'd have been pissed off, but I'd have been like laughing in the back of the cop car. I'd be like, oh, your wife is such a bitch. Oh my god. And she's just like sitting there like starting to like cry a little bit. And I'm like, oh man, she's gonna get a drunk in public. It's gonna be a whole thing. Nope, the cop was just like making sure that she was not about to get like assaulted by a park. I'm like, ah, oh, that's a good officer. Like, that's the only police work I've ever seen done in Durango. That's the only shit I've ever fucking seen. Like, they'll walk in the bar every now and again and make, you know, just their hands up in their pits and just being, yeah, we're looking for somebody. And then they leave. Like, they don't find who the fuck they're looking for. I'm like, why would they be at a bar?
So is their hands on their pits because that's where their guns are?
No.
Oh, they don't have shoulder thingies? Then why do they put their hands there?
Because it's like, comfortable.
No, what are they anticipating being ready to grab if needed? Like, that's like a pose for, like, a purpose.
No, it's just comfortable. Like, if you ever...
Do you, like, always... Do you hold
yeah, if I like it, yeah, if I have a backpack on, of course. I don't know. It's a weird fucking thing.
They have to be, like, ready to reach something.
Well, they're fucking far away from their gun.
Mm.
So... But, yeah, this officer's like, do you know these gentlemen? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go. And she's like... Yeah, that's my husband. That's my friend. And she's just like just sticking by us for like the rest of the night. And just like, it's like probably a quarter mile back to her place. And it's like, ah. And then she like texts me, you know, today. Let me pull up the actual text because it was great. She's like, did I actually get pulled over by the cops last night? I blacked out. I'm like, yep, because a shady brown guy and a skinny white guy was following you. And goddamn, it's just that. Like,
so she didn't get a DUI?
She didn't. Well, we weren't driving. We were walking.
Oh.
But you can still get a drunk in public, an intoxicated in public ticket for being intoxicated in public.
I always found it so weird that people had that rule. But then I realized they probably use it to get someone or for someone who actually is too drunk in public.
Yeah, if you're being a fucking problem in public and like going to like a Walmart drunk as shit and like, fuck you, Walmart, and like taking bags of chips and ripping them up, and it's like, okay, here's a drunken problem. It's just an extra charge that they can add on. And it's like, yeah, here, you know, this is a fucking Darwin Award. Fuck you, asshole.
What do I look like when I'm drunk?
You're just like...
Am I like Shelby?
Yeah, you're exactly the same.
Like, I get around and, like, jump off shit?
Well, you don't get around and jump off shit, but, like, you pee in planters and shit like that.
Okay, I only did that once, okay? And that was, like, I was, like, 19, okay? I haven't done that since.
Yeah, you know the legal drinking age is 21.
Alex totally did.
Yeah, once.
Alex has totally done something else.
What else have I done?
I think you, like, just fell over a lot. And then, like, you talked forever for a while. And then you kind of just died off. And then you came back again. It was when I was visiting Georgia, and we ended up getting caught at Walmart right after I turned 18. So stupid. Mm-hmm.
Dummies.
So I'm not, like, a mean drunk, right?
No.
No.
Okay, thank God. That's all that matters.
It takes so much fucking liquor to get me drunk. Which is a problem. And, like, when I get too drunk, like, I just, like, get tired.
Yeah, you pass out.
I'm just like... Like, you can tell, like, when I've, like, cut myself off... If I'm, like, sitting in a corner just playing Sudoku. Like, if you ever catch me, like, just sitting in the corner playing Sudoku, that means I've had enough to drink, and I'm tired now. My social battery is just about out, and I'm trying to, you know, keep the last little bit.
Sometimes it's nice to fall asleep from drinking too much, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, I love it. It's the fucking tits.
It's real nice. I'm a functional alcoholic, right?
You're not an alcoholic.
I'm not? Well, I guess I'm not taking vodka to work.
I mean, like, here's the thing with alcoholism. It's like everyone gets to define it themselves. If you, you know, think you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic. You know, if you don't think it's a problem, it's not a problem. If other people think it's a problem, then it probably is a problem. You know, look at it, you know, your own self. I'm not going to, you know, put it, you know, on me or on anybody else to be like, you know, hey, I'm going to judge you for what you do.
So, like, I made a decision to not drink on work nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a fucking struggle not drinking. Like, it's been awful. And I'm like, I feel like it's a good thing that I'm doing this now then if I'm struggling this much as opposed to further down the road. But, like, I'm kind of, like... disappointed in myself that it's been such a struggle to not drink 4 out of the nights of the week after drinking every single night because I don't want to use it as a coping mechanism.
I mean,
like, it's been hard, and I feel like that's a good thing but also a bad thing.
So like I attempted to do like a sober February and it just didn't work out. Like one of my friends is you know, dealing with her DUI, and I'm like, oh shit, that sucks. You know, I'll do a sober February with you. And I didn't. I'm a bad person. But neither did she. It was her birthday month. So I'm like, okay, we'll try again next month.
But the whole thing is like making little excuses and being like, oh, I'll be better next weekend. Like, literally, I just have to make sure there's no alcohol in the house that I want to drink on my work nights. And therefore, I don't have to fucking worry about like fighting against myself.
Yeah, I'll have a beer to go to bed. Okay.
It's been rough, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself. But also, I'm like 3 weeks in, and it's a little easier now.
I mean, like, kicking a vice is a very difficult thing to do. Kicking, like, something that you enjoy doing... that, you know, sends dopamine to your brain, like, oh, yes, nice. Like, I walk into a bar, any of my bars, and they're like, okay, here's your beer.
Like, beer is delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I have a...
Beer is so yummy. But, like, I read too many studies talking about how it can, like, increase your anxiety. And, like, I realized when I got drunk after a work night, I sat and I stewed about all the stuff that went wrong that day and just made myself worse.
Yeah, I don't get drunk.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't do that. And I don't stew about work. And I'm able to focus more on good things. Alcohol is not a good coping mechanism. But it's so yummy. So now I'm drinking, like, more on the weekends than I was before. Like, I'm making up for it. And that's also not good. But also, as long as I drink all the alcohol I just bought, there's nothing on the week, right?
Well, it's like...
And that's also lying to myself.
Like, for me, like, I just don't do, you know, meth or coke or, you know, any of those drugs anymore. I'm like, good. You know, I'll take the victories where I can. I'm still going to drink.
Oh, drinking's not a bad thing. I'm just disgusted with myself.
Well, I mean, drinking for some people can be a bad thing. And some people are like, okay, I am an alcoholic. I need help. And you know, wherever you see the problem is where your problem is. You know, I'm not going to be like, well, that's not a problem. You're not an alcoholic. If you believe you're an alcoholic and you need help, go get help. You know, don't, you know, try and discredit somebody else because, you know, you don't agree with their definition. It's like, ooh, that hurts. And it's like, well, that wouldn't hurt to me. It's like, well, it hurts to me. So that's what that's going to be.
Pain is pain.
Pain is pain. You know, definitions are definitions. Go ahead and, you know, if you want to get help, go get help.
Pain is pain.
You know. And, you know, like, I can say this, you know, I used to use a lot of drugs, and I was able to get out of it without rehab. I didn't do any of the programs, any of the dumb bullshit, because I never saw it as a problem for myself. And I'm like, okay, cool, I can put this all down. Done. You know, like, I can put down meth for the rest of my life. Done. Coke for the rest of my life. Done. Because there's now fentanyl and other bullshit in it. I'm like, oh. But it's like, I like having shit more than, you know, doing that. Now, I still, there's psychedelics, so it's not all cut out. Let's not be ridiculous now.
But it's not meth and coke. There's, like, a difference.
Exactly. So I'm like, cool, I can, you know, not do that, but still have a couple vices. And I don't, you know, see myself as too big of an alcoholic. You know, I just enjoy it.
Beer tastes delicious.
So.
Beer tastes so good.
But, you know, let's keep this gravy train running with some fucking crazy ass news. In Ohio.
OH.
Yeah, no one cares. We're not from that fucking hillbilly redneck.
But it's so much fun to say. I like the noise and the way it leaves my mouth when I say OH.
It's because they don't know how to say it because they're fucking dumb.
H is a wonderful sound to end a word on.
But dead Ohio man's roommate drove his body to withdraw money from his bank account. So
what? Yes.
Two roommates of a recently deceased man were each charged with abusing a corpse after propping up his body to withdraw money from the bank. So he essentially weakened at Bernie's this man to go steal his money.
Abusing a corpse is a sentence. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. Like, if someone dies and you move their body, abusing a corpse.
Legal words are cool, but also secret.
But what's even better is you think that this would be some, like, young kids. No,
it's got to be old dudes. Only they would fucking try to pull this off.
The pair, Laureen B. Ferrallo, 55, and Karen Kashboom, 63.
It was a set of Karens! Wait, are they lesbians?
No, it's Laureen.
Isn't that a woman's name?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought it was.
But yeah, they just like took him to the bank. And with the help of a third unnamed person, the roommates carried the body to the front seat of the dead man's car so the bank staff could see him, and then drove to the familiar bank branch where they withdrew an They got away with the money?
What?
The pair previously withdrew money from the man's account with him present and approving. The alleged caper unraveled when the duo dropped the body off at the medical center after the withdrawal and left quickly without giving the hospital staff information about the man. Oh, yeah, he was Douglas Lehman, an 80-year-old dude.
Oh!
Yeah. So, yeah, he was old, died of old age.
I wouldn't mind if they offed him.
I want to know how much money they got away with. Like, that's the real fucking... Like, if they got, like, all of his money, like, he had, like, $250,000 in his bank account.
I
mean,
he is boomer age.
It's like, yeah, and he's just, like, the third person, like, does, like, an impression of him. Yeah, give me all the money in my bank account. And, like, they sign for him, and it's like...
Like they went through like the window thing where they talk to you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't use those.
I've had to use them a couple times. And like as a kid, you remember like the little fucking tubes that like, you know, you put them in and they like shoot, like vacuum up?
No.
You've never seen bank tubes?
Like the ones with the little capsule in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use those either.
Like I've always wanted to use one, but... I've always been too, like, nervous.
I think they're stupid.
I feel like I'm going to screw something up, like, put in my phone or something. and like, why did you send us your phone? Do you know? I'm sorry. Send it back.
I've only ever seen old people using it, so I'm like, oh, it's for the retards.
And then they're like, I'm going to just screw up too many times. They're like, please, sir, just come inside. And then I have to, like, come inside and they're, like, all just talking about me. Like, this retarded guy is trying to get money out of his account.
It's an interesting atmosphere when you walk into a bank.
Yeah, they have fucking dum-dums because that's what you are if you're having to walk into a bank.
One time I was at a bank and, like, an old dude passed out and I caught him and I was like, shit, this old dude. And so, like, they called the police and stuff. And afterwards, some, like, random lady walked up to me and she was like, oh, my God, thank you so much for catching him. And I'm like, what? If it wasn't me, whoever in my shoes would have caught him, too. Like, I didn't need to be thanked for it. That, like, creeped me out.
Yeah, you should have just, like, let him fall.
Nah. Okay, if my grandpa was falling and the option was for someone to catch him or not catch him, I'd prefer someone catched him, you know? Like, if it was my grandpa.
You should be there with, like, whoever is,
my
like...
My grandpa's dead. I can't be with him.
Well, when he would go to a bank, you know, just go there. Like, give him a fucking wheelchair. Like, okay, I have, like, evil thoughts on old people. I feel like after you turn 70 years old... Every 5 years from 70, so 70, 75, you know, every 5 years you should have to get a physical and, you know, have someone, you know, in the car while you drive around. Like, kind of like a little quick driving test, and they check your eyesight and all that bullshit.
Well,
they don't retest you. They just make sure that you can still drive good. And if you cannot drive good, you lose your license. And if you decide not to show up, you lose your license.
When my grandma reached 60, she was like, that's it. I'm not driving no more. And so basically she never drove again. Like someone drove her somewhere or she took the bus or some shit. But she was like, I ain't driving no more. And I'm like, I respect that, grandma. I respect that.
Yeah. Maybe she realized she just couldn't drive effectively anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, so my grandma didn't learn to drive until she was like 32.
Yeah.
So like it was never good for her from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
no, that's how my grandpa Steve, he got in a car accident because he stole the keys because he was told that he couldn't drive again, but he was being stubborn and stole the keys and ended up getting in a car accident.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an old person and you crash and die and, like, kill another family as well, It's like, oh, well, you know, tough for you. But guess what? Now that other family that, you know, that had their entire life ahead of them dies too. And, yeah. and you're a piece of shit. There's literally no, you know, recourse for it.
One time this lady came into my clinic and she was asking us where a one of her cat was, but the cat was like dead. Like the cat like died like 7 years ago. And like her, like the way she she talked, it just wasn't quite right. And like, thank the Lord, but her daughter was on her account. So we called her daughter and we're like, we think you need to come get your mom. She was like 80. You need to come get your mom. Something's wrong. And she like freaked the fuck out because her mother was in a home. Her mother was supposed to be in a home because she had dementia. Somehow she got out of the home and drove to our clinic for one of her dead cats. Like she somehow escaped the home and then somehow drove to us. Like it was like super freaky and like
whose
a daughter
car did she even take?
It was her car. Like it she had like a GMC something. It was like a truck type thing. And so like the daughter the daughter was freaking out. And so like I convinced the lady to come like sit down in the lobby and wait for us to bring her cat out to her. Be like I lied to her. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, we'll be bringing your kitty out soon. So I basically stalled her until her daughter got here. And oh my God, her daughter was so thankful.
Like, one of my favorite things about some old people homes is they have a fake bus stop.
Which is brilliant.
Out front to where, you know, people go out there and sit there and wait for the bus that never comes. And then,
I saw that video and I knew that's how to work with her. Like, I saw that video and I was like, oh, that's how you do it. And I mimicked her. Like, it's a really good, I love the shit she posts.
Well, like, I love the video of, like, the, you know, pregnant woman at the bus stop. And like, the old dude's like, oh, how far along are you?
Oh, it's so sad.
I'm like, oh, man, if I had a kid, I would do that all the time and just fuck with them. Like, oh, no, my dad's losing it. And it's like, and I just, like, fully be there and just be like,
you know, even if I was with a dude who I thought would be a good father, I still wouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every time I see someone with kids, you like, they're happy that they have them. They're like, oh, I love my kid. But you see it, like, take something from them. Like, you have to give a part of yourself be a good, effective parent.
Yeah. It's a responsibility having children. Okay, so I'm watching season 4 Blown Away, right? There's an episode where they have to, like, get, like, inspiration from, like, kids' photos. And my favorite artist is like, I like children when I can give them back to their humans. And I'm like, oh, my God, I vibe with her.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's like, I don't want...
They need to be returnable.
I see people with, like, 6 kids.
And I feel so bad for the mother.
They're just like, this is awful. Like, one of my best friends in the world, Ben, he has, like, 5 kids. And we talk all the time. And he's like, I can't go on vacation. I can't do anything, you know, just for me. I don't get free time for me. It's just you're constantly on duty.
Yeah.
You are on duty from, you know.
And that is so much work and dedication and patience, and I couldn't do that.
Yeah. You're sacrificing, you know, your entire being to, you know, give this kid 18 years, you know, so they can be a productive member of society.
Well, that's just how you and me see it. Like, we don't, like, your bestie's perspective is completely different.
No, he sees it the same way, too. He's like, yeah, no, it's worth it to, you know, sacrifice, you know, so, yeah, but, like, he has me to complain to. He's like, if at any point he's like, hey, I need to blow off some steam, it's like, I'll make fun of him. I'll be like, oh, wow, I like coming in women. Oh, that's so, oh, look, it looks just like me and her combined. Isn't that neat?
Oh, my God.
And then the novelty wears off in, like, 6 months.
You're Ben's mochi.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, man, the novelty of a baby wears off quick.
There is no liking a fucking infant. they're disgusting and loud.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, constantly take care of them, and you can. I'll never do it.
They're so loud.
Yeah.
And then people have the audacity to bring them on planes. I feel like there should be, like, baby flights.
There used to be a company that was for flying pets exclusively. Like, yeah. It was just pets, and they had, like, a veterinary staff. So, like, it wouldn't fucking work. Also, I feel like they'd be able to be, like, that's discrimination. Like, get, like, the courts involved.
No, just have, like, a baby flight. Or make it... They already discriminate against age. They say, hey, you can't drive a car until you're fucking 16 years old. You can't have a job until you're fucking like 16 years old. You can't do this until you're this age. You can't do that until you're this age. You can't drink alcohol until you're 21. That's discrimination. Why can't a kid drink alcohol? Oh, because it'll fucking damage their brain and maybe kill them?
Like, too much, yes. A sip here and there.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, like, if you give even a little bit of alcohol to, like, a fucking infant, he'll kill them very easily.
Okay, there's infants, and then there's, like, 6-7-year-olds.
Yeah, like, they can have a sip of beer, but, like, it damages their developing brain.
My dad gave me wine because he's hoping it would make me not turn into an alcoholic. Is that why I'm autistic?
No, you're autistic because you got vaccinated.
I'm mega autistic.
You got
Alex, was Alex even vaccinated?
I wasn't.
Think she was.
Okay, no, my parents turned into anti-vaxxers, and so I had to wait until I was 18 to get fucking vaccines so I could sign for it myself.
See, I thought so.
See, my mom.
God.
My mom did take me in to get vaccines. She was a good mother.
Well, yeah, you're a baby. There's like, it's
oh no, I was a child. Like, I got the chickenpox vaccine and all that kind of.
You got the chickenpox vaccine?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. How have I not? Should I have had chickenpox by now?
You haven't had chickenpox?
No, I don't think so.
Thank goodness. At least you don't have to deal with shingles.
I mean, but chickenpox is like pox, right? Wait. Like, it's just like. It's
Alex,
pox.
You had chicken pox.
I did? Oh, okay.
I think you have, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get shingles when I get old.
God.
I survived the pox. Goodness. How the fuck did my shitty immune system pull that shit off?
Everyone survives the pox. It's just itchy.
Yeah.
Like hoof and mouth disease?
I don't know what that is, but.
No, they're just itchy. Like, basically, you have mosquito bites all over your body.
That sounds very uncomfortable.
It was. It sucked.
So am I going to get shingles now?
You don't have to.
Nope.
Maybe. I don't know.
And they have a vaccine for it now. So you can take the vaccine.
Well, I guess I'm getting fucking shingles because I didn't get that vaccine.
Shingles is painful, right?
God, I hope so.
Oh, yeah. It is. I caught it when I first moved into Cassandra.
What is shingles? Like, what is it?
So it's like a rash that's really, really, like, it's super painful and can be itchy. Like, it's from your nerves. So
the chicken pox
virus gets in your nerves.
And then it mutates.
And then it becomes a rash on the surface of your skin. So, like, it's really painful because you have the nerve pain and stuff, and, like, it's just really painful.
Hmm.
I got it on my back, and, like, once my immune system got, like, better and I wasn't so stressed out living with Cassandra, like, my patch of shingles went away. Like, it's, like, red and bumpy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had that.
That sounds awful.
But yeah, no, I definitely had chicken pox. I remember, like, we had, like, chicken pox parties. They were, like, one parent would bring their kid over to, like, another, you know, kid's house. And, like, that also had chicken pox. And, like, we'd hang out because we were allowed to. Because it's like, well, we can't get pregnant again, you know, type of shit. And it's like, I just, I remember I have this vivid fucking memory, and it's like the only like a snippet of what fucking happened. I remember my mom bringing me over to like one of my friend's houses, and my friend was like sitting under a blanket with chicken pox. You know, like one of those fucking like quilted blankets. And I remember like just like a little finger popping out.
Shingles is herpes.
What?
Yeah, it's a herpes virus.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, darling. It's fine, though. It's not like genital herpes. That's different.
No, genital herpes, though.
Ew. If I had herpes, would you fuck me?
Yeah.
You would?
So it's the... Alex.
What?
Like, it's not the herpes that you're thinking.
No, it's in... Courtney, yes, it's herpes. Cats have herpes. Like, it's a virus.
Yeah, it's but it's not like the... Like, it's the same virus that causes chicken pox.
Courtney, I know. You're talking to the medical professional. I know how viruses work.
I don't know how viruses work, but...
Everybody has herpes. Cats have herpes. It lives in their
eyes. I don't
eyes.
Have herpes.
Yes, you do not. Well, yeah, you don't have genital herpes. You don't have herpes that makes obvious skin phenotypes.
So, like, is there, like, more types of herpes now?
Yeah. Herpes is just, okay, herpes is like a family. There's different types of herpes.
Yeah, so it's the type of virus.
Yeah.
It's called varicella zoster virus.
That sucks.
Yep.
Eh, whatever.
Oh.
What?
So if you look it up, that's what was on my back. Like, I had a patch, like, right above my bra strap.
Oh my god.
By my spine.
Oh, that's awful.
Like, it hurt really bad, and like it looks exactly like it looks exactly like what they show in the picture.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was next to your bra strap. That's awful.
Yeah, it was. It was so horrible.
That's awful.
See, like, I don't have to deal with any of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Don't you get it, though?
I get a bunch of shit.
But Alex doesn't wear bras. I mean, he could.
Well, I mean, it'll most likely be his pants that will be annoying because it follows your spine and stuff.
No, I wear fucking suspenders. So I don't, like, the pants aren't, like, you know, pressing in on me.
You're hot in your suspenders.
I like them.
They look nice.
All right, let's get, you know, back onto some fucking news. Because yeah, we've already busted through 43 minutes of this podcast. No. Holy shit. 9 dead in Wisconsin. So the entire population of Wisconsin is now dead. As they should be. Yeah, that's like just an unfucking...
It's a puma!
It's a mountain lion, but it has nothing to do with that story. So 9 dead in a Wisconsin crash between semi and a van. So this is a fucking... This one, like, reached out to me because it, like, makes me think of, like, all the shit I want to do. So apparently a van was struck by a tractor trailer on the interstate in Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. There's 10 people involved, 9 of them dead. The, you know, dude that was driving the truck, dead. And 8 of the 9 in the fucking van, dead. I'm sure that fucking 9th person is also going to die, too. Do not fuck around and find out. Like, imagine being the driver of that van, just being a dumb piece of shit.
Like, what happened?
Well, they don't know. It just says the van was struck by the tractor trailer on the interstate. I'm sure that the van was just being slow or just being a dumb piece of shit or fucking brake checking or fucking, you know, doing dickhead behavior.
I'm also automatically blaming the van. Why have I done that?
I'm automatically blaming the van. As someone that fucking drives trucks for a living, I'm automatically blaming the van. Like, how the fuck dare you? You know, it's like the van is like in pretty good fucking shape, all things considered. And like the fucking truck is all kinds of fucked up. Which tells me that the truck tried to avoid it. So either A, the, you know, truck was coming up and like the van was just stopped on the road, which was like pretty much my entire fucking day today. Like, I was like driving down the road and it's like, hey, you know, fucking people are doing 35. Like, one dude was doing 10 on the road. The roads were dry. Now, to be fair, up on Wolf Creek, it was, you know, a little bit slushy. But, yeah, no, the roads were completely fucking dry. And this dude was just doing 35 miles an hour. And then when I go to pass him, he, like, speeds the fuck up. And at that point, I just wanted to be like, and just knock him the fuck off the road and just make him roll a bunch of fucking times. And then get out and make sure he's dead. Because at that point, you're just being a fucking dickhead and you want to earn your Darwin Award. So, yes, I am 100% blaming the van. My one fuck goes out to this truck driver. Hopefully, they didn't release any of the names, but hopefully you're in a better place, not fucking driving truck. Or you're burning in hell driving a truck. But yes, I guarantee you is either the van was going too slow, the van tried to pass, couldn't quite fucking make it, cut back over, fucking struck the front of the truck, pushed the truck over, the truck fucking flipped, the van fucking flipped, and, you know, then it was just all over.
Well, it said the eastbound tractor hit the van going northbound. I don't understand what that means.
It means they fucking T-boned.
Oh.
But you can be going northeast. So, yeah, I'm blaming the fucking van on this. There was a fucking video of this car, like, just blowing through a red light, and this, like, fucking triple was just going through the fucking green light and just T-boned it perfectly. Just boom, just carried it, like, for, you know, a quarter mile. Killed the driver immediately. And then, like, the driver's daughter was, like, in the car and just like, oh, yeah, you just watched your mom die because your mom's a dumb bitch. And now this fucking truck driver is traumatized for the rest of his fucking life because you didn't want to fucking pay attention. I hate people like this. And I see them all the day, every fucking day. Just shitty fucking people that don't give a damn.
It should be harder to get a driver's license.
It should be damn hard to get a driver's license. And it should be easy for you to lose it. And then, like, if you fucking get caught driving without a driver's license, they just take your car, impound it, and crush it.
Part of the issue, though, is we live in driving crunch. We don't live in walking country.
Well, fucking do not fuck around and find out. Do not drive drunk. Do not drive high. Don't, you know, fuck around with your license. It's like, if you want to fucking, you know, live in a driving country, then guess what? You need to fucking, you know, have a driver's license and not fuck around and find out. You know, I say give people the 3-strike rule. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, you made a mistake. Happens. You know, even with like a DUI. Well, you made a mistake. Well, here's going to be what the consequences are, and the consequences remain the same. But like, there's people that are like, I have 43 DUIs.
It took me 3 times to get my driver's license. I failed the first 2. I wanted to give up, but my parents made me do it a 3rd time. And somehow I passed, which I don't think is good. If I failed the first 2, should I have...
Yeah, you should have kept failing.
Yeah, I know. Something different happened.
And now I'm sure someone's going to come out of the woodworks and be like, actually, it was the van or the semi that ran a red light and killed the van. It's like, no, I don't care. But yeah, so there's one person still alive. I mean, hopefully, you know. Yeah, Governor Tony Evers.
He literally said thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, that's it. Our hearts and prayers go out to the family and loved ones of all those involved, as well as the first responders who work quickly to provide support at the scene. Not enough support, because most of them are dead.
They were dead when they got there.
Yeah. Their condition was not announced. So yeah, please stop fucking around and finding out. Please stop being a piece of shit that fucking goes slow on the highway.
Oh, they have video. Do they show it?
No, it's just a video from the scene.
Oh, that's disappointing.
And from the air showed severe damage to both videos. And no, they don't have the video out. I'm sure I can find it, but I'm not going to. Because this is not really a video podcast. It's just kind of an audio podcast. Until, like, I stop being lazy or I, you know, get more days off to really fucking work on this. But I don't get days off. It's like, I got home today, I get tomorrow off, and then back at it. 34-hour reset. Suck my dick. Yeah, that was the shit that just pissed me off. And like this lady over in Washington, a drunk driver crashes into a don't drink and drive sign.
DC or the state?
Washington state. But yeah, like they even have like the fucking whole ass photo, and it's just like a truck that's just sideways hitting a fucking, obviously she survived. Like the truck's not all fucked up, but it just says, please don't drink and drive. And she's just drunk as fuck. I want to know what her fucking BAC was.
Yeah.
If you see someone driving erratically, please call 911. Do not call 911. I like how this was just like, then it just gives me like pictures of fucking plane crashing. Just plane crashes near Bellevue, Washington. But this is just dumbass fucking people. Dumbass people all day. And then Florida, obviously dumbass people. Marlene Lopez, a 52-year-old woman, was found in a locked shipping container after she was banging on the door. She like went in, fell asleep, and they locked it. And they just use it to like store lawnmowers and shit. You know, they think that she walked into the unit, passed out. But police are still investigating on how she got into the container and, you know, got locked in. I guarantee you she was trying to go in there and steal some shit. And the fucking owner of the company is like, oh yeah, bitch, and fucking locked her in. And then walked away. Because people are shitty. Like, there's too many goddamn shitty people nowadays that will just, you know, steal something that doesn't belong to them to just try and get a leg up. And then complain that they're a victim when they, you know, get sentenced to fucking jail time or community service. Yeah. It's like, no, if you're going to be out here trying to fuck up somebody else's day, you're not a fucking victim at all. You're just a piece of shit. How the fuck dare you think that, you know, we're coming against you? We are now. All right. Now on to Am I the Asshole? I'm going to do the shorter one because, yeah, we're running out of time. Am I the Asshole by Maybe Entitled. Am I the asshole for saying I'm entitled to food my parents buy? Throwaway account. I'm going to keep this short. I'm in college and living with my parents. My parents had an oops baby. My sister is only 4. They can't afford childcare, so instead of getting a part-time job to help out, I take care of her when they're at work. We got in an argument because they haven't gone grocery shopping and were running low on food. They used the last of the bread for themselves tonight, and when I brought up what would I eat, we got into an argument. They told me I'm grown and it's not their responsibility to feed me anymore. I told them that's BS and I'm entitled to food because I'm taking care of their kid. They're spelled wrong. They're now calling me an entitled brat and saying if I don't fix my attitude, they'll kick me out. I told them go ahead because they'll be homeless because they can't afford childcare even with both of them working. My relatives are telling me that I'm in the wrong because I'm an adult and I need to grow up. So am I the asshole?
This is missing so many details.
So from what you have in your post here, maybe entitled, OP, this is parentification. Your parents need you to take care of your sister. And that's cool. That's great. And that's dandy. And you're being a good, you know, big brother taking care of, you know, your baby sister. You're in college, so I'm going to say, you know, 19 or 20. Maybe even 18. So somewhere 18 to 23 range. Young adult. So here's what you do. Just be like, okay, you are right, parents. I am an adult. And, you know, just be like, this is my 30 days. I'm moving out. Figure out how you're going to take care of your kid. Good luck. Or you can pay me to watch your kid, your oops baby. And then I will use that money that you're paying me to then go and buy some food. Or you can stop being petty pieces of shit. Fucking let me eat the food that I take care of your kid. You know, while I'm here.
Yeah, it's part of like being a family. Like, if you're not gonna feed them and still expect them to like do something like that, like, that's a lot.
Let's see what the comments say. Not the asshole. So you're an adult that need to grow up, but your parents don't? They can either make sure that there's food in the house for their kids. If there's nothing for you to eat, what do they give your sister? Or one of them can be a stay-at-home parent and watch the child they created irresponsibly so you can get a job and buy your own food. OP responds, yeah, it makes sense that if I'm giving up money to help them, they should also provide things that I can't for myself. My sister ate with them. I'm working on homework, so I'd say I'd eat later. We had the stuff to make PB&J sandwiches, which I plan on making for myself as well. They used the rest of the bread, so I was left, as I said in another comment, with the choices of plain white rice, dry cereal, or peanut butter on a spoon. It seems like your parents do not have enough money to even have you.
OP needs to bounce.
Your parents...
Who's paying for OP's college, though? That's what I want to know.
I feel like it's OP.
But OP doesn't have a job because he's busy babysitting.
Maybe he's getting, like, scholarships or something. Mm. Well, let's... Because I can go in to see what he said through everything. Let's go to his little profile here. Comments. I have no idea about the finances. They don't talk to me about it. Although I do know my mom is making minimum wage. That's all I can say about it. As for my uncle, we're close. And when I was younger, I'd hear blah, 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 blah. My uncle is paying my tuition and my books and / resources.
Okay, that's where the money's coming from. Okay, like if OP's parents were paying for college, that'd be one thing. But if they're not, OP, you 100% need to bounce.
So OP is 20 years old. He keeps on saying, I said it in another comment. But yeah, he just wanted a PB&J.
Sorry, my phone. OP, you are not your sister's parent, and you do not owe, as much as it sucks, you are not your sister's parent, and you are allowed to bounce, and you should bounce.
Yeah, go get a job. But I can say this, having a job while going to college is a difficult fucking thing.
Yes.
Like, and you know, having like roommates, You can go find like a, you know, place, like have like a bunch of friends, you know, like find some friends from college. See, you know, if any of them want to go in on an apartment together. It might work. It might not. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it doesn't. But yeah, just like sublease from somebody. Just like, oh yeah, I just need a room. I just need a spot. You know, go get a car. Go get a truck. Put a camper bed on it. You know, just go, you know, live in that. While you go to fucking college. Go stay with your uncle.
Yeah, why? Yeah, OP should pick up a part-time job. Move in with his uncle if he's able to.
Yeah.
I know, OP feels guilty because God only knows how much care his little sister is going to get once he leaves.
Yeah.
I like how people, like, fucking delete their comment. And it's like, God damn it. You piece of shit. But yeah, no, OP, you are not your little sister. Yeah.
It is.
If you can get out of there, get out of there. If you can't, well, that sucks.
It's not your responsibility.
And then now for relationship advice from Alt Jessa Ma. Husband, male 36, gave me, female 34, a year to lose weight, fix our dead bedroom situation, and get better mentally, or he'll leave. How do I handle this? We have been suffering from a dead bedroom for a few years. I'm also in a depression, and my mental health is not good. I'm also overweight and have gained quite a bit over the years. Well, we went through two rough months recently, and he gave me an ultimatum. He's given me 1 year to fix all this, or he says he will also deserve happiness with someone who loves him, etc. I understand his intentions, but I can't seem to shake the feeling that he's putting all the responsibility on me, and it's not right. Also, if he decides to leave, the blame can't be put on me in an instant. I'm already having so many mental issues and medicated with self-esteem, fear of loneliness, trust issues, etc. And this ultimatum is not helping me with those. So I'm not sure what to do. Of course, I want to lose weight, work on myself and the relationship, but I feel really uncomfortable with this ultimatum. Thank you all for your comments. I realized I'm looking at things from the wrong window, and I need to give him the credit that he's being very communicative about our problems before. So this is kind of a last resort for him. I genuinely believe he wants to give it a second shot. This is not meant as a threat. So now the ball is in our court, and I need to get up and do something about it. OP, this is...
There is a lack of information here. Like this, I read this and I 100% see OP's husband as like the bad dude. But based on her comments, I'm almost wondering if there's stuff he's doing right. Because like sometimes I also fall into the cycle where I see everything as manipulative, even though it's not. And I have to be like, no. I'm not in that situation anymore before. This is communication and I need to see it as thus. Like, it's sometimes I understand how you can get stuck in that cycle, because like if you look for signs of abuse, you will see signs of abuse, and it's very hard for me to not look for it sometimes. So I'm almost wondering if there's kind of that skewed viewpoint going on, but just like I'm very confused on how her situation has transformed from her previous to the comment to the edit. Like something else is going on in the background that is not revealed
so
in this post.
You know, from this is not professional advice, and I'm not a therapist or anything. But what you should do is, you know, if you really want to, you know, tackle all this stuff, you know, tackle it as a team. You know,
yeah, she needs his support.
How about this? You know, you have a year to lose weight. You know, go on runs with him. Fix her dead bedroom situation. Takes two to tango. You know, go work out. And then after you're done working out, you know, maybe go, you know, have a little bit of fun, you know, suck his dick, you know, take a shower, suck his dick, you know, all that shit. Get better mentally.
That needs support.
Therapist.
Like, man. I could not do this without you, babe. I could never do this alone. No, seriously, I could never go to therapy alone. It's dreadful sometimes. It's necessary, but it's awful.
Yeah.
EMDR is not as easy as you think.
Seems pretty easy. But, yeah, I mean, it's not easy. You know, set goals. Set, you know, hey, I want to be here by this point. Hey, I want to be here by this point. And how are you going to accomplish that? What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to, you know, get up and go for a walk around the neighborhood. And then go for, like, a walk, you know, like, go, like, on a walk date with your husband. Where you just, like, walk and talk about stuff, go on, like, little hikes and shit like that. And, you know, really, like, talk about the shit that's going on. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy to develop a new habit, a new thing you have to do. Oh,
it's
shit.
Rough.
I don't have the time for that. Just do it, you know. Instead of sitting there watching Netflix, be like, hey, let's go on a walk.
Do main character shit.
You know, and then you'll be like, okay, cool. I like this. This is feeling nice. And then keep on, you know, doing it. And just...
Like, OP, if you're not on brain drugs and therapy, you need brain drugs and therapy. Everyone needs brain drugs and therapy.
Drop acid with your husband. What am I saying? Just do that. Let's see what the comments say. I'm sorry, but he literally cannot fix these issues for you. He cannot exercise and eat less for you. He cannot go to therapy for you, and he cannot figure out which medication works best for you. He cannot get to the root of why your libido has bottomed out for you. He can support you in these things, to be sure. Be a gym buddy. Show interest in your therapy journey. Help. Rebuild a non-sexual physical intimacy. But this journey needs to be led by you. You will not affect change that is driven by somebody else. This journey is your responsibility. There's nothing he can do to change that. Either that, you can do that, or do nothing and then, you know, lose him, or you can just be like, you know what, I'm gonna go find someone that loves me for me and then, you know, get rid of him, you know.
Well, no, if OP's in that kind of point, like, OP deserves to better herself. She shouldn't wallow.
I mean, like, it could be the dude just being, like, a total piece of shit.
It could be.
And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, just, like, knock something out because, you know, she's, like, says, like, nice things about the dude. Because, like, a lot of abuse victims will say, like, really nice shit about, like, the dude that's abusing them.
Love bombing.
It's like, mm-hmm. Well, no, like, even the woman was like, you know, well, he has a job and he works so hard and it's like, he broke your orbital socket.
You learn just to pick out the nice parts and lie about the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I feel like at one point I was in OP's shoes. Like, I got like a really dark place. And now like I'm in therapy. I'm on brain drugs. I've lost weight. Like I feel so much better about myself. Like I did this all for myself and I feel so much better. And I hope OP can do the same for herself. Granted, 50% of it was due to my hysterectomy that fixed a lot of problems, but B, I decided that I was going to start bettering myself, and I have. And it's a lot of work. It's still a lot of work.
So,
but it has paid off.
OP, I'm rooting for you. It'd be, you know, really cool if, like, you come back in, like, a year and be like, hey, here's the progress I made, you know? Have someone to be your sponsor. You know, have someone to keep you.
Like your husband should be your support, like mine.
Well, I mean, like you know, like have like someone else as well. Like it doesn't like if you're in AA, you get a sponsor. You get someone to you know keep you. Someone that you can call if you're having trouble. Someone that, you know, can be there for you that, you know, fully understands what the fuck you're going through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like one of your girlfriends just be like, hey, You know, I want to do this. I need to, you know, I would really, it'd help me if you kept me, you know, honest and on this fucking path. So not just like one person, just build like a support network around you.
Yeah. Your partner should not be your only ground.
And it's like, boom. And then you have like a few fucking people. It's like, hey, you know, we're going to go on a hike. Come on.
Like, expecting your partner to be able to answer 100% of all your emotional needs at all times, I think is a little exhausting for one person to have to handle. Like, it should be a community.
So, yeah, build, you know, this is all I have to say. Build a fucking network around you of good people that can help you out. And, you know, have them keep you on that good path. You know, fix, you know, the bedroom situation is just, you know, between you and your husband. You know, maybe you can go to like a sex therapist and, you know, see what's up with that. Take Molly together. I don't know. Well, actually don't if you're on brain drugs. And yeah, see a therapist. And you know, go on walks. Rome wasn't built in, you know, overnight, and, you know, world-class bodybuilders don't lift 100 million pounds on their first try. So, but that's it. Thank you all so much for being here, for showing up, if you fucking made it all the way. Courtney, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
But we will see you all next week. You can follow me, Instagram, all that bullshit, Alex the Truck, and, bye.
Bye.